to those looking to live outside the box of religious performance and inside the love of an awesome Father, this is the God Journey. And the stories just keep on coming. Hi, I'm Wayne Jacobson. Welcome to the God Journey. As I said last week, we just seem to have a number of people who are excited about the opportunity to process their journey with me. And honestly, what I love about technology now is that it allows for that kind of thing. I write stuff or say stuff, and then people hear it oftentimes even differently than I mean it. And we'll get to some of that later in the podcast. Then they get a chance to write, and we get a chance to talk and exchange. And I think about the old days, you know, the writer sits in his quiet little castle and spends a year writing a book. It's another year before it comes out, and maybe another year before you even hear about it. And now you're reading stuff, and you might not even be reading what he's written. You're reading the words, but you're processing it in your own space and venue and terminology, and then it comes out very differently and doesn't lead to great communication. So I really enjoy the chance. This will be more of that kind of podcast to help people process some things they're thinking and have been writing about. Let me read you a letter from Derek in New York, wrote this. I get the impression from your spoken and written words that you are a bit of an introvert. Now, I know people that would find that funny, and I know people that would say that might be true, who seems to do amazingly well meeting with others and engaging in self-disclosure. I want to be more like that, not because I want to be more like you, but because I see a wonderful example of how Jesus was with people, making margin in his lifetime and space to meet with people where they are. Obviously, there's probably a story behind how you came to this place of allowing God to bring people to you. Would you be open to sharing that either on your blog or on the podcast? Thanks for what you do and for the fact that it seems to just come as natural as breathing to you. I love that last phrase. I don't love it because that expresses what Wayne Jacobson is. I love it because I think that's what real transformation with God is. It brings us to a place where how we can live is as natural as breathing. And it's not that we've always got an agenda behind everything we do, although there are times when we can be intentional about some of the choices we make and some of the ways we live our lives. I'm pretty intentional about connecting with people. The reason I'm intentional about that is because I think it helps people. I think my journey and things I've lived through and sitting down and talking to people, whether it's the atheist neighbor I talked to last week or whether it's people like Derek writing to me on the podcast, I enjoy being with people, talking to them, processing a piece of their journey, seeing if there's anything I can do to open a wider door in their heart. Now, he kind of thinks maybe something really special got me to this place. And I think my story's out there. I've told my story in a lot of different venues. A lot of it's on Transitions. A lot of it's in He Loves Me. I've even done podcasts on the big transformation in my life that came after getting out of a regular paid pastoral ministry role. And I don't think that was unimportant. I think getting away from that allowed me to see some things I wasn't able to see when I'm there. And I've often said to people in various leadership roles, some of them would say, man, I'd love to live the way you're living. I don't know how to make that work. And usually they mean financially. And so they struggle with seeing it differently. And what I tell them is you don't know how captivating what you do is and how it blinds you. How, as Upton Sinclair said, it's difficult to get a man to understand something when his salary depends on his not understanding it. That's a great quote. It's laying on my computer because I think that says a whole lot. We often believe the things we believe because it's expedient for us to believe them. But when you get away from a place where you're paid to do what you think is godly, now you get to see things in a way you never saw it before. And that's what happened for me. So it wasn't getting out of ministry. It's the space that created. And it was things that then God was able to make clear to my life that he's probably trying to make clear my whole life. What the fruit of my life is now is simply the joy of seeing what God does when he's been working on me for 20 years. And I ended up in more gracious space, whether I'm an introvert or an extrovert. I don't really know, and there's part of me that chafes under those things. Not that there isn't a genuine personality reality. To those who, you know, love just being alone and refresh that way, and others who just want to be with people all the time. Some of that may be natural personality. I also think some of it, to be honest with you, is coping mechanism. Some people don't want to be alone, and they don't recharge being alone because they're scared to be alone. They want to keep filling their life with noise and people. And other people who stay in the quiet because they don't feel like they have anything to offer, and they'd rather stay hidden. And when those are coping mechanisms, I don't think they're helpful. I don't think we know who we are until God brings us into greater spaces of freedom. And whether it's introverted or extroverted or whatever, we just come to a different place of being free from the things that twisted us. Whatever we used to cope, whatever we used to indulge ourselves, it gets us into a better space. And then you find out, man, people really matter, and engaging them is great fun. And when if you engage people and come away and it just was an unfruitful conversation, you have a lot of those. No, I don't think you're going to be making margin in your life for people. But when you come away from engagements that you see are fruitful, not only encouraging to me, which they are, no matter who I'm talking to. And I can be sitting next to people that don't even believe in the God I believe in on an airplane and come away encouraged by the conversation and maybe some insights that they have. We'll talk more about that in a later phone call. But so I'm one into that space because God won me into that space. I find it effective. I find it fun to be in that space. And then I find it fun at times just to withdraw from all that and have that kind of alone time where it's just me and Jesus and Sarah, and I find that very valuable too. So, in fact, I've had 4 good months of that. I leave this week to head off to Oklahoma. It's first trip out in 4 months. First time on an airplane in 4 months. And I got to tell you, I know I'm trying to do it the worst week imaginable since the current administration is threatening us with flying disaster because of our financial woes and our Congress's inability and president's inability to sit down and work it out. So it's supposed to be a horrible time to fly, but I'm going to Oklahoma. Fortunately, I'm leaving on the 28th. Hopefully they have it fixed when I fly home. But if not, I'll hitch a ride on a truck or something, see if anybody's happened to come this way from Oklahoma. But I'm looking forward to hanging out with people. I didn't really want to get out and necessarily have a lot of big conversations at the moment, but I'm going to be doing some of that. But I'm basically going because there's a brother in Tulsa I want to spend some time with and share some things that God's been putting on my heart and just see how they resonate with things I know God's put in his. This then, so Derek, I don't really know I can explain to you all. I think it's the fruit of God transforming us. And so just keep coming. Just keep coming to him. Keep letting him transform you and learn to listen to that still small voice and make space in your life to engage folks when you're prodded to it. See what that becomes. Learn to be in a conversation where you don't have to manipulate it for your own ends and you don't have to get to your point. You just are inside theirs and looking for a way to encourage them and help them without kind of dropping a bunch of religious stuff on them, particularly if they're not believers or whatever, and really just help open their lives to a different way of seeing God rather than trying to evangelize or harass them in some other way. Eventually you learn, and I love what you said. I love that little phrase because I don't think it's fully true of me. I'm still a work in progress, but people I know who are also on this journey, when they come to a place where just when you live as natural as breathing to embrace what God has for you each day, and it's not this frenzied seeking, gotta find God, but just walking with him through the reality of your day. It's really awesome. And when you find your way into that, and for me, it's taken years. I've been seeking God for this since I was at least in college. And I'm coming up on my 60th birthday next month. So, this month when this airs, but I'm coming up on that. And I've enjoyed where I've landed the last 5, 6, 7 years. I'm now living the life I always thought was possible. And that doesn't mean it's perfect. It's not. Doesn't mean I'm perfect. I'm not. Life's a bit of a mess sometimes, but I'm in it with God and very content and excited to see what else unfolds. Richard from Sweden wrote this, and I love it. He just said, about 4 months now, I've taken the message of Father's love to my friend who has had a period of going back to alcohol and drug abuse. 2 weeks ago, he made a statement to me, I cannot receive so much love and continue doing this, referring to drink. He wanted to stop. And I love the expression. I can't receive so much love and stay in my bondage. That's fabulous. Love that. He wanted to stop and get rid of all the anger and rage and disappointment he's carried for the last 40 years. A friend and I helped him get rid of demonic rage that accompanies so much of his alcohol abuse. The week after he himself went through his life forgiving everybody who had ever grieved him, and we didn't tell him to do this, And with everything he went through and confessed, you could see the joy flooding back into his face. Even his wife, who is living separately from him just now, sees a difference in his eyes and his attitude and is warming back to him. He is booked in now today to a detox rehab. 30 years as a Christian and hiding his sins in order to fit in has ceased. Just a number of months receiving his Heavenly Father's love cracked a problem that always seemed like a mountain to him. For me, I have gone from the theory of what the Father's love can do to the reality. Wow. Thank you for your part in that, Wayne. Your podcasts have opened a door to see the reality of our Heavenly Father. Richard, love it. I love just Father's love opens a door where someone's, I couldn't keep doing the stuff I was doing to destroy myself with the love that was touching my heart. So good story, great lesson. Just that's the space in which we get to live and help people and share them. And then this from the comment line.
My name is Don in Omaha, Nebraska. And I just wanted to share that I really appreciate your recommendations about books such as Tattoos on the Heart, and this last one that I'm reading about The Gifts of Imperfection by Brené Brown. And I've come to the conclusion in a new space in my understanding of our Father's love, in that he speaks to people who are not even part, maybe, of the Christian religion, but you see these people from different religions who have compassion for those around them, and are responding in ways of serving these individuals. And I really come to believe that this is their response to the, whether they understand it like this or not, but they're responding to the what the Father is putting on their heart. It's brought me to a much larger space in understanding a fellow man who lives in other parts of the country and who have been raised in different cultures and subjected to different and embraced maybe some different religions, but still how our Father speaks to them, and they respond in ways that maybe they don't fully understand as we would understand it, but it's just so beautiful.
Whoa, Don, you got to be a little careful there. You're going to get me and you and a whole bunch of other people accused of being universalists. And boy, that's just, you know, hang that tag around you these days, and there's a lot of people going to be, okay, I'm just kidding a bit. I love what you're saying. But let me clarify a couple of things. Just you probably will already know this, but I just thought I'd clarify it for listeners. Gregory Boyle is a Catholic priest in Los Angeles. Brené Brown is a Presbyterian, I believe, sister in the Houston area. So the people you mentioned actually aren't from other religions. They're actually part of the Christian faith. I don't know how you feel about Catholics, but I tell you, some of the best people writing and discovering, Gregory Boyle, author of Tattoos on the Heart, I recommended that book a while back. Love his journey. Love where he's living out the love of God. Richard Rohr, another Catholic. Brennan Manning. I mean, some guys that are really saying. In fact, I'm going to post something about Richard Rohr probably for this podcast on my live stream blog, because I love the space these guys live in. I love that they're coming to something new. But let's go to your larger point about people outside. Does God speak to them? Wouldn't we want him to? I was part of a long season in my life where I thought God only spoke to his people. And there were his people and then those that were not his people. Now, I think God wants everyone to be his people. Not everybody chooses to embrace that. That's true. But he nonetheless wants it. So why wouldn't he be speaking to Mormons, to Catholics, to Jews, to Muslims, to atheists? Man, I do want God speaking to everybody and leading them into a bigger space. Does that mean then that all roads lead to Rome? Everybody gets saved no matter what religion they follow. God's in everything. And I'm not one of those. I'm back to the space that Jesus is the way and the Father is a real Father. Now, am I nuts about Christianity as a religion being the way? I'm not. I think Christianity has done much to disfigure who God is and to disfigure what it means to follow him. We've created a religion that goes alongside all the other religions of the world. Ours is based on more truth. I believe that. But it's not lived out in that truth most of the time. And I think part of the joy of becoming part of this new creation, this has been something that's been really, really stirring in my heart. It gets back to the discussion on community that we're having and going to have going forward. Community, as I said on one podcast, community is the conversations, connections, and collaborations of people who are learning to live loved, or people that are part of a new creation. Now, what do I mean by that? If you understand computer language a little bit, and if not, get a high school person. They'll help you. But I remember I'm a Macintosh guy. I've been a Macintosh guy since the beginning of my computing life. So I don't know or understand PCs or Windows or those other things. But a number of years ago, Macintosh switched its operating system, went from what they called System 9 to System 10. The old programs on System 9 couldn't run on System 10. They just couldn't do it. And so making that jump from 9 to 10 meant you had to upgrade all of your software, and it took me a long time to decide to do it. But when you finally do it, System 10 offered so much of a different way, and you just couldn't put that on top of System 9. Now, here's the analogy I want to make. I think the way we're born into this world, our flesh, our self-consciousness, our self-preference is kind of the old creation. It wasn't how God meant things to be, but when the world got twisted by our fall, our creation ended up fallen and broken, and preference became the order of the day. And then Jesus came to show us, not just to show us a different way to live, he actually came by his resurrection. Now, I don't focus enough on this. I've talked a lot about the cross in recent years. I think you're going to hear me talk some about the resurrection going forward as we're engaging conversation, because the cross is what resolved our sin and shame so that we could be inside the presence of the Father, even at our most broken, and him be part of the process that makes us like him. So it's not something we had to do from the outside to gain access. We had access now in Christ. And there's when you get that truly, freely, then there's no sin or shame consciousness in the presence of the Father. It doesn't mean you're ignorant about your failures or ignorant about the way you're hurting people or that God is. It just means it doesn't affect the relationship anymore. I can be inside the relationship of affection because that's in fact how God wanted to change us. It's not that his views of morality or justice, you know, changed at the cross. Now, I don't care anymore. Just do what you want. Be what you want. What he knew was if he could get us inside a relationship, that's where we could get healed. That's where we could live free. And that's what we would want to do. Knowing him, we would want to be like him. And the real purpose of that was not to free us from sin. I don't think God has near the sin hang-ups that religions attach to him. God has a life hang-up. I want you to embrace the fullness of my life. Sin is the twist of that. Sin is the result of being in the darkness, self-preferring. So in my little analogy, Jesus starts at the resurrection, the new creation. It's a new system software. And it changes everything. All things have become new, as 2 Corinthians 5 says. Everything becomes new about the way we live. And when we live as part of the new creation, we're not all hyped up on doctrine. We're not hyped up on convincing people we're right. We're not hyped up on the things that we thought were important in the old way of doing things. And unfortunately, Christianity as a religion, I know it's going to be controversial, but let's just go for it. Christianity is part of the old creation. It's still about self, and it's about self trying harder and self improvement and self. It's what I'm saying is the same system software. When Jesus started the new creation, it was like here's a whole different way to live. It's not self and managing sin and trying to get the best you can out of man's systems or even trying to create a better system for God. People who trust systems still live in the old creation. Jesus came to invite us into the way Father does things, the way Father works, where we can cease from our own labors to embrace his work as it unfolds in us. It's a great story. But I didn't have a clue what it was. It's not something I can talk about as a matter of principle. It's actually a different way of living. And I could explain to you, I've got a list of 27 things, I think, now that are contrast between old way of thinking, new way of thinking, and what the new creation allows us versus what the old covenant was and the old way of man's doing things. That's why much of the Christianity religion has more to do with Old Testament priorities than it does New Testament reality, because we didn't know what it was to become part of a new creation. That's what we didn't know. In the last 20 years, I've been learning to live inside the love of the Father. It's changed the way I live. I don't have the same angst to build a kingdom for myself. I don't have the same angst. I don't even have the same confidence that I can build a system that will sustain the life of God. I don't even have it. I thought about this when we had some of that movement talk a few weeks ago, because that first podcast on the Greater Gathering, just there was a whole lot of momentum coming my way. And fortunately, that's all tampered down a bit. But see, what I know about a movement, which there's people that want to do, but not people who are part of the new creation. The people I know who are growing in what it is to live loved by Father, growing in the trust of that, less personally needy, less needing to drive their own agenda or build their own ministry or whatever, just people who are learning to live in that space that God gives us that becomes as natural as breathing. You know what? If you started a movement, just so you know, those people won't be there. They found something so much more real than another human movement. They're not looking for a system. So the last thing I want to do is create a party and leave out the people that I want to be engaged with, people who have a sense that God moves in amazing ways and invites us into great freedom in life. That's the new creation. That's that new system software. What most of us have done, and I did it for a number of years of my life, is I'm running Christianity as a religion on the old system software of self. And it just doesn't work. It leads to futility and frustration. And I think when all of us, many of us, began to wake up to a different reality, we didn't even know what was going on. We just knew that the things we were doing didn't fulfill the hungers of our heart. And we dared to ask the difficult questions, and we dared to muck with systems, hoping we'd find a better system. We tried all that because there was something inside that said, there's something more real. There's got to be something more. This isn't enough. And for me, it was then just learning that there was love coming from a Father that I didn't have to earn anymore. I could relax and live in. And that's 5 or 6 years of that piece of the journey. That's not, oh, yeah, I learned that overnight, got it at seminar. It's good. I'll do it. God invited me into a different way of living that was surrounded by His love. That wasn't, and that alone tore that self operating system apart. It destroyed it. And it began to give, not that I'm free of self, man, this is not either or, black, white, on, off. This is a process of transformation. The last 20 years has been a process of seeing what it's like to live love, to see how effective it is to live inside the love of the Father instead of inside of Wayne's own needs and desires and trying to get his thing done and built. And it's caused me to relax. It's caused me to see His working more. It means at times I'm much more engaged in stuff than I used to be. But now it's not Wayne's work. It's Wayne alongside the Father's working. It's not stuff for him. It's just stuff with him. It can be taxing. It can be challenging. Absolutely. As Paul says, I labor and strive more than any man. He understood that the mystery of Christ in you, the hope of glory, was not something that made you a couch potato. As your faith grows, as your trust in Father's love grows, you don't become more of a couch potato. You actually become more active in the creation, but from a whole different platform, a different operating system. I guess we call it in Christ. And now the religious stuff doesn't make sense anymore. Being in Christ is a different way to think and live and embrace reality. And going back to Don's phone call, I know we're a long way from it, but back to Don's phone call, when he says, you recognize those voices, when I read it in a Gregory Boyle or a Father Richard Rohr, when I read it, I recognize it. Those guys are part of a new creation. They wouldn't explain it the same way. Yeah, are they still Catholic priests? Yes. Do I have a problem with that system? I do. That system is horrendous. They're getting ready now to go through the whole pomp and circumstance of a new pope. I was in the Vatican a year and a half ago, and I look all the the amassing of wealth and money. And do I think there's a great inconsistency between people who love all that stuff and what Jesus came to do on the planet? I think there's a huge difference. And I think they've gotten lost. But I'd say the same sure the Baptists. They just haven't had as long a time to get lost, or the Vineyard or Calvary Chapel. We all get lost. And we're just running self on top of our religion, just running our religious system on self and what we get out of it and how we feel the approval of men for doing the things we do and the approval of women. Don't mean to be exclusive there. But you get your own approval from stuff. And then we wonder why it doesn't lead us to life. But when you begin to find the life of the Father, you do recognize the voice of the new creation. Part of what Kent and I talked about a few podcasts ago. There are things being said in other traditions, and you look back and go, man, that's godly. I don't think it's godly in their system. I don't think their system's any more godly than anything else. But that thought, that touches something. Why? Because God's revealed himself there. So all religions, no, the salvation is in Christ to the Father. There are some people who come to know Christ by following the voice within them, and they may not know it's him yet, but that's who they're following. I suspect some of these Catholic guys are probably as frustrated with their system as I would be in the ones I was in, but see themselves as missionaries. I don't judge their life. I don't think every real true person of God is going to get out of the Catholic Church. What I said was, I don't think you can be in love with that system of power and money and the way it operates, and particularly in recent years when it protected its own power at the expense of kids being raped and abused by leadership. But that's not just happened in the Catholic Church. That's happened in secular colleges. That's happened in Protestant groups as well, where they thought we could handle this in-house and didn't realize that what they were doing was only promoting the problem, and it wasn't bringing it to the light. So I'm not a defender of systems, but I am very generous to listen to the voice of God with whomever I happen to be. And when I hear things that resonate in my heart, I'm going, yeah, that's part of it. I like Brené Brown. Some people have trouble because it's a self-help book by a social researcher. But there, with stuff she touches on, vulnerability, human connection, what are the barriers to those connections? Incredibly profound stuff. Sarah and I have just loved it, reveled in it. Do we take it all? No, we don't. Not everything in it's new creation. Some of it's human systems. But part of learning to live loved and living alongside Father is your heart resonates with things. The Spirit affirms, yeah, this is real. This is the way the creation works. Ah, then I get to embrace it. See, what Jesus did in bringing a new creation inside the old one, he didn't do what the Jewish people hoping the Messiah would do, which is establish them as the dominant political entity of the world. Jesus came to do something so much different. He brought heaven, the kingdom of heaven, here and invited us to live in it now. And by living in those realities, which you can only do by living loved, it's not a set of principles to follow. It's when you realize how loved you are and you explore that growing relationship with him, you'll find deep connection and deeper freedoms and greater joys in living in that reality and more disconnection from world systems that seek to undermine that new reality. That's how that creation came, so that you and I get to live in it now. And whether the systems around us do, whether people around us do, we get to, and that's what we've been talking about. And I think the community is when those people get in earshot of each other. Fellowship is not even a chore. Engagement is just wonderfully powerful and exciting. So, Don, I love where you're coming from. That wider space is great. I don't want to be in there with them universalists, because I don't think there's as much salvation in anything other than Jesus and knowing him through the Father. Now, you may, like you said, you may come up in another culture and not know what to call him. And I think Jesus is okay with that. If he doesn't get the name right, Jesus is going to invite them in nonetheless to the life of his Father. But do I believe Jesus is speaking or God speaking to everyone on the planet? I do. That's their only hope. He's speaking to them, calling them to himself, and hopefully they'll find the grace to listen. And then I want to play this phone call. This is from Tommy.
Hi, Wayne. My name is Tommy. I'm calling from the West Coast. I keep asking a question over and over again that just won't go away, and it is, why do we matter? Why do I matter to God? I totally feel great about the fact that he loves me, that he's pursuing me, but I come from a background where what I do is what matters, and no matter how much I try to logic myself out of that argument, it's sort of in my bones. So I try to come at it a different way, since I can't change what's going on in my heart right now, and I think that's God's work. And then I listen to kind of what you say and other people say about God's doing all the work in us. And when I hear that God's doing all the work in us, I hear that I'm a robot, because God's doing everything, I'm doing nothing. And if I'm doing nothing, then I guess I decide that I am a nothing. And while I know on paper that that can't be true, it's still sort of how I see the world. And so then I also hear that, you know, we need to actively ask God to show himself to us, or pray or seek him. And I feel better about that because it falls in line with my belief that what I do matters and my value comes from what I do. So I just know it's all convoluted, and I'd love to just get your perspective or thoughts on why we matter to God, and how we know outside of what we do that just who we are matters. Because I still don't get that for myself. I can apply it to my children. Of course they matter just for who they are, but I can't apply it to myself. So I'm looking for some other way to see it. Thanks.
Wow. Tommy, I love that you get it right with your kids. In fact, one of the things I wrote back to Tommy, she sent me an email too to kind of help flesh out if it wasn't clear from the phone call. But I thought the phone call was incredibly clear what she was asking. Where she talks about, I can do that with my kids. I love them just for who they are, but I can't see God doing that in me yet. I said, oh my gosh, do you realize God's a better father than you are a mother? And you could be a terrific mother. Do you realize that if you love your kids that way, God loves you that way? And I know what she needs. And we had a brief conversation about this, but I still wanted to respond to it in case other people have that same confusion that, well, God does everything in us and that makes us just robots and automaton. No, it doesn't. When I talk about God doing, and that's not terminology I use a lot now. I may have used it in transitions 8 years ago. I mean, that's how long ago that was. So I moved on, and I probably will have to redo that someday to make sure what's in there still makes sense for me. But it's still part of my journey. It's where I was in that day, and that was part of God's unfolding life in me. When I'm saying God's doing everything, I mean that for transformation. It's not God's doing everything. Go sit down on your sofa and stare at the wall. I mean, when you're trying to change yourself, stop it. That's God's work. It's God's work to change you. What you get to do is love him. Where we're intentional is abide in me. Remain in me, and I'll remain in you. There's a lot of intentionality in my growing relationship with Jesus. There always has been. I've not ever been someone that sits back and says, oh, he does everything, I do nothing. But I am learning part of this new creation language again. When I'm in a situation, my whole thought is, God, what are you doing? And how do I fall in with it? And if I don't know, I don't just do something because, my goodness, we got to do something. But the larger question is, if I don't do something, am I of any value to God? And I told Tommy when we had a brief exchange, your answer is not in anything I could say. I know you want to give me some observations about it, so I'm going to do that. And I'm reading, and most of the letters I read, I don't pick this because it's the only letter or the best phone calls or whatever. I kind of latch on to things that I know from my email and my conversations with people that I travel around that other people would have the same concern. And that's why I get lots of email after this and go, man, I'm sure glad you read Tommy's letter because, man, that's exactly where I'm at, or heard her voicemail because, you know what, I have a pretty good read on some of the hungers that are out there. We want to be special to God. And I like that she clarified, not more special than someone else, because that's a little warped. If I want to be the most special kid to God, that's a bit warped. That's not what she asked. What she wants to know is that I matter to God. God's heart delights over me. She wrote this in her email. I know a very gracious God who saved me from legalism and taught me what freedom in Christ is. But I don't know a God who delights in me. And I doubt that is truth. a nice idea or true for other people, but not true for me. I have too many other internal voices that say otherwise. Ah, ha, ha, there's the problem. The internal voices that war against the truth. So back to this. I have too many other internal voices that say otherwise. It's too good to be true. I want to believe it, and God knows I want to believe it, and yet I don't. And I think I don't believe it because I have years of believing I'm expendable or else can do nothing right. Basically, I live in a world where I'm not good enough. Wow, and that's just not true of you, Tommy. That's true of anybody from a religious background. And as Brené Brown says in her book, The Gifts of Imperfection, it is true of almost every woman because of the way our culture treats women. What I said to Tommy was, I don't really think there's a thing I can say that changes this. I think what changes it is an engagement with God where God moves beyond a principle to a presence, a personality in your life. And I don't think God stirs this up in Tommy, except that he's ready to address it in her and is addressing it in her. He is inviting her. And one engagement with the real presence of the living God would win you into that place of being special, of mattering to him. I hope my children, I hope my grandchildren don't wrestle, or even Sarah. I hope I matter to Wayne. If they even have the thought that they think they don't matter, obviously something's wrong in the relationship. Amy, Lindsay, Austin, they don't matter because they do something for me, even make me happy. And they make me overjoyed. But I'm overjoyed because they matter to me. They're my daughter's children. My daughter, my son are still the most special people I know beyond Sarah. I haven't jumped my kids to get to my grandkids. My grandkids are my daughter's children. They're the object of her affection and the love of her life. And I love them. I love every moment I get with them. They brighten my heart and delight my day. They were over all day yesterday, and it was just, man, love it. Tommy and others who would even feel the same way, your worth to God's never going to come from doing. But that doesn't mean there aren't things God will invite you into. Even Ephesians 2 says we were saved, prepared in advance for the good works God wants us to do. Not good works to earn his favor, just things alongside him that he made you to be in the world. And those works aren't publishing books and writing songs and performing for the world. You know what? The old creation has such a skewed view of what's valuable. And it's not a microphone in your face with a camera. It's not standing before crowds of hundreds or thousands. The most significant stuff God does is how you love the next person in front of you. It's how you love the people closest to you. It's how you love your wife, your kids, your neighbors, your coworkers, your colleagues, the person in line before you at the store, the waitress at the restaurant. That's all part of what life is. And when you can relax into the moment, and you realize those engagements are the most significant ones of our life. What you do in the world matters. How you treat people matters. But when that's run on the old self program of needing validation by doing work, it's going to kill you. And Tommy, when God invites you into that space of knowing that you're loved and knowing that you matter and know when you wake up in the morning and just turn your heart Godward for a second and say, "How good morning, God. What do you have for me today? What are you giving me on this day?" The delight in that relationship is not one I assume, it's one I know. That's why I'm so adamant that we've got to move beyond even living loved as a set of principles I embrace. No, it's an engagement you have. It's creating enough space in your heart for you to recognize the God who's always been making himself known to you and is always inviting you into that warm and tender space. That's what life is. And Tommy, I suspect you're going to know that soon. He is pursuing us. He is willing to do that work. He nudges us into responses, however, that are part of that work. And I haven't been light on that ever. There's a nudging. And when I cooperate with God, things open up. when I resist him to just do what makes me comfortable or respond to those other voices in my, those internal voices in my head, when I respond to those, I end up in darker places. So it's not just stand back and say, okay, God, you've got to change this. My prayer is always, God, how are you changing this? How do I participate with you? Where do I come to the quiet? Where do I not to earn? See, everything that's done to earn is still running on that old self platform. In Christ and now loved and relaxing into a new reality is the greatest challenge you'll ever face. It's taken me years to get comfortable in the space, and I still yearn for something more. I still think there's part of this living in the new creation that's going to allow us to live more like Christ lived on the planet than we know. And I've got some things on my heart, but I'm not going to go there on this podcast. So yeah, I think our choices matter. And yes, I think God has things for us to do. That's part of celebrating our life from Him. But none of that gives us worth. In fact, I would say the way we live in Christ is out of the worth we already have in Him. He does delight in us. And if you don't know that, if you're like Tommy saying, man, I don't have a clue about that, why don't you ask Him? Why don't you just say, God, I want to know this, not from my own works and having to earn it on my own. I want to know it from you. Would you make it clear to me? And this is what God does better than anything else. He responds to the open, willing heart that just says, God, in your time, and in your space, and without my expectations being on it, without it having to look a certain way so that I'm pleased, how do I live in that space of who you are? How do I know you with more joy and excitement and peace than anything I've ever known? And that's where this journey comes alive. And then you get to know, not because Wayne said, not because you read in a book, not because you're trying to win over your internal bad voices with internal principles. It's because you learn not to listen to the voices that lead you astray. And then the voice of His becomes much sharper in your life and day. Well, I'm going to head off to Oklahoma. I've got a couple of podcasts already in the can with a friend that visited me last week. So the next couple of weeks, we won't be continuing more directly with your comments and questions and things. But maybe we'll pick up after that when I get back. We'll see. There's also a couple of folks I want to talk to when I'm traveling that may bring some podcasts back from that as well. Don't know yet. We'll have to see. This is an unfolding journey.
Traveling with us on the God Journey. You can be part of the conversation by visiting our website, thegodjourney.com.